Hi, this is Randy Landry, and this is my podcast, common-sense-america.com, and this is my 14th podcast in my new format. Previous to this, I was posting on Buzzsprout under common-sense-america.com, common-sense-ramblings-america.com, and due to financial restraints and all that, constraints, I decided to port all my podcast over to my blog, so it's all at one address now, and I was able to copy all of them over. And so if you ever want to go back and go through my 200 plus podcasts over the last 3 years, they're all there archived on the blog. And today I'll be posting a podcast on Trump's first 100 days, giving a little grading. It won't be the terribly long podcast, but I'll just be going over some of the things that have happened during the first 100 days and what he could have done. I think he was a little bit too conservative, and but we'll see. All right, so like I said, all you have to do is go to the blog and click on the category podcast. Makes sense, right? And there you'll go. They'll all be there. Also, the first ones will be showing up in the listing, the main listing. You'll see them just pop right up there, and you can click on them to link onto them. You'll also be able to go click onto them, hyperlink to them from my Facebook page. It's under my name, Randy Landry. And like I said, you can access them and some other stuff as well from there as well. So without any further ado, let's begin this brief analysis. So, as everybody's been touting and all the hoopla, that it's probably the most that's ever been accomplished by a president in the first 100 days, even meeting Ronald Reagan, and he had to follow Jimmy Carter. So you knew what kind of mess the country was back in the late 70s after Carter's administration. It was a freaking disaster. And so now Trump followed a four-year term of Biden with similar results. The country was in this absolute disaster as well. So, well, inflation was through the roof. Every country and their brother was taking advantage of us. We were giving money to everybody, and most of it was money laundering, I think. And corruption was rampant and rife. And U.S., just by Doge going through and checking out U.S. aid, you got to see where this money was going, or at least have an inkling of where it was going. So the biggest thing is he closed the border down because we were basically being invaded by the world, really. And the people that were not, it would be okay if these people were, like, you know, really good citizens that were going to produce something in this country and help us, like a lot of our other immigrants. Because we have a strong history of immigration in the United States, and it built this country. I mean, my God, how many, if you go back in time, the only real people here that were the Native Indians, okay, really. Everybody else was basically an immigrant into this country, pretty much. And even if you go back then, even the Native Indians were probably immigrants because they crossed over during the last Ice Age and crossed over from Asia into through Alaska and down into Canada, migrated down, following the migration pattern of animals and all that kind of stuff. So into the warmer climates until that's finally where they settled. And so now, not sure about how they came up from South America and up into Mexico and all that. So basically migration and immigration built this country and built North America and probably a good part of Central America as well. So we're a world of immigrants. So really, to say that we're against immigration is pretty ludicrous, but illegal immigration and the mass dumping of criminals and mentally handicapped and disabled people, criminally insane people, and probably military people too. A lot of these people coming across were healthy males, like from China and other countries like that, which are probably now formed sleeper cells. So all they got to do is get like a coded message from their mother country, and mayhem can begin. I mean, look at the trend of La Ragua and MS-13 gangs and all that, what they've done. And now they've kicked out over 100,000 people, which it should have been a million by now in 100 days. But because the court systems, judges that were appointed by Biden in his last few days of office, so like 200 plus a boatload of them from Obama, that were, in essence, sleeper cells in their own right. So all this has been choreographed by the left in an effort to stymie Trump and destroy the country. Because the world, until Trump came back in office and is the 57th president, were here, I mean, are being controlled by the globalists. They want one world, one government, basically, and not a democratic government at that either, or a republic, basically a theocracy. They want total control. And who's going to run the country but the mega billionaires and all that, and politicians, so, with very few rights. And most cities would be 15-minute cities where people live in little cubicles. Now, if you go to countries like Japan, it's already happened, okay? Most of the people don't really have, like, yards, so maybe out in the country. If they do, they have little itty-bitty narrow walkways, and they have some little place where they can grow some plants and like that. But a lot of them just live in little cubicles where you have a place to sleep and maybe go to the bathroom and that's clean up a little bit. That's about it. And sometimes, even worse, they have group bathrooms where you just shower in like a dorm. They don't even have their own private bathrooms. And you walk to work, you walk to the store, or have it delivered, in that case. Kind of like a Fifth Element with... The Fifth Element with Bruce Willis and Mila Jovovich, where she was the alien that was sent to save the world. It was kind of an interesting movie, but it showed an image of what megagopolises could become or whatever. And like a city was like, what, like 30 million, 40 million people, and the little spaces they lived in. And basically, you would have these hovercrafts come up right to your window and give you food and all that kind of shit, or cook you on it. So, oh, would you like a Chinese today? And it's come up and you open up your window and you get it. So, I don't know. So, back to kind of like getting a little sidetracked here with Trump, but he's like close, so he's closed the border basically with Tom Homan. And Tom Homan is a pretty cool dude. And other people like RFK Jr. and Pete Hegseth, and Bondi, Pamela Bondi. I'm not so sure about Pamela Bondi, but there's a whole slew of, well, of course you got J.D. Vance, the vice president, who will be, I think, a good person to replace him. Whether or not he is strong enough to keep on doing what Trump's doing, I don't know, or is he going to just cave and give in to the swamp? But you got like, and Marco Rubio's turned out to be pretty good as well as Secretary of State. He's gone around and done a lot. But I like Scott Bessent, Secretary of Treasury, and Doug Burgum, and Howard Lutnick, Secretary of Commerce. He is stellar. Now, RFK Jr., now we'll see what he does. Okay, he's He's already got a couple of things going through there, and they've passed or written executive orders to try to get rid of some of the chemicals that are in food and all that. But he's saying that by September thereabouts, he's going to have the answers for what's causing autism. So we'll see if they allow him to even publish that. Sean Duffy has an incredible amount of work ahead of him to try to make our transportation system modernized again. It's a disaster. The roads, the bridges. Good luck with that one. He probably has one of the most difficult jobs besides PTAG Seth that we have. I mean, every one of them has, my God, issues. Panel body, the judicial system is an absolute cluster with the FBI and all that. Oh my God, it's terrible. And the courts, she's got her hands full too. And the FBI, oh my God. What a freaking disaster. Nobody trusts any of these because they weaponized the police and all this. They just go after their enemies, the left did. Hopefully they'll be able to get rid of the Secretary of Education Department, or at least marginalize and bring it down a little bit. The only thing is that I would like there to be some standardization, maybe keep just a very small department and have a standardization where kids that got transferred from, or, you know, have a uniform testing across the country. So we know that the kids are actually being educated and they're actually uniform. Like some states like California, New York, and are going to probably just try to like slide by. But the problem was, and that's one of the reasons why they created the education department, it was such a big complaint that none of the states wanted to play well with each other. So when people moved, and there's a lot of people that move all over the country for work or what have you, that their kids were having to go back a year. And they're saying, oh, your school is backward. They would test in a new school system, and they would find some reason to say, hey, you're not a fifth grader. You're only a fourth grader or a third grader at best, and they would have to go back. And so with the education department, that's one thing that they did stop that, okay? A little more uniformity. So that is the main reason why it was created, is still very important and still germane to today's society. Probably even more so. So I hope that is addressed as well. And Kristi Noem with Homeland Security. That's a goddamn. And Tulsi Gabbard. Oh my God. To try to get rid of. There's like 20 plus intelligence agencies in this country. What the hell we have? And not everyone. They're all dumb. Okay. Intelligence. I mean, you got the CIA. Why does every agency or department need their own intelligence agency? I mean, every one of them has it. The Army, the Navy, even the Coast Guard has their own intelligence department. It's crazy. It's just like they're just pissing money away for redundancy over and over and over again. So I don't know. And I'm listening. What's kind of nice is that they're having the cabinet meetings now are televised, okay, that are open. The reporters are there and almost kind of listening to it. But what it seems like, and I don't know if they would be doing the same thing if it was closed, but it almost seems like an ass-kissing contest for Trump. Oh, this is the greatest 100 days and all this kind of shit in there. Oh, thanks to Trump's presidency and all this, we're able to do this and we do that. And Trumpy, 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 Trumpy. And Trump's going, Trump's just all smiles and all this kind of shit. And yet, nothing has really been totally, permanently accomplished. Yes, he's written all these executive orders. But we know what the hell can happen to executive orders when you have a corrupt president that replaces another one. That one that has opposite party. Every executive order that Trump wrote was rescinded was overturned, every one of them, and our country went to hell in a handbasket. Now, we have Trump won the election, but how did he win it? I mean, why did he win it? Okay, because of his sheer magnetism, also because of his family getting in there and tracking down corruption. Well, is J.D. Vance going to have that kind of support system? Is he going to have the people that are 100% loyal to him doing the same thing, trying to stop the corruption? And are they going to be able to stop the theft? I mean, when you were looking at, when I was following the election for 2024, we should have won so many more Senate and House seats. But these forever elections where the voting was being counted days after the election was over, and you could gradually see the margin slipping as more and more of these Congress people, the Democrats, were winning. When it was going in, it was close, but the Republican was ahead, and it counted more and more and more Democrats. More Democratic votes came in, and the votes were mostly Democrats. Very few Republican votes were in those batches as they were counting. And before you knew it, they were just down to a very small majority, only 3 in the Senate, and I think like maybe 7 or 8 in the House, but not enough to go with the supermajority on either House, okay? So that means a lot of the bills and laws that are passed will never be passed because there's not enough of a majority for the Republicans to get their things passed. And we're seeing this, okay? Now, look at all those executive orders need to be codified in Congress and the Senate, and they're not, because I think they need a supermajority to pass. So, look like the Democrats were against protecting women, okay, and sports. They were against that. They were against no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime. Okay? Those are big things. And yet they blocked every one of those. So I don't know if they'll pass by a majority or if it needs a supermajority for that, for the financial. So nothing is being, this is all smoke and mirrors. And so many of the people in office, or not office, that were appointed or just are part of the swamp that are there from one presidency to the next that are never changed, are saying that they will fight Trump tooth and nail, just like the judges. Okay, so now I posted on multiple pages that on Stephen Gardner's blog or podcast, sorry, and one of his guest speakers said that getting rid of these judges is very hard because now they're appointed for life, which is like fucking insane. I'm sorry. It really is insane that that is the case. I don't think anybody should be appointed for life. I think they should have at the max 20 years, at the max. And after that, they need to be replaced, switched out, okay? Supreme Court justice should not be. Life is such a long freaking time. It's like Amy Coney Bryant, which is like what she's like in her late 40s or something like that. So she can be in office for 30 years. That's ridiculous. So I think 20 is more than sufficient. Nothing for life. And, and we don't have the super, and yeah, in order to impeach anybody, you have to have the supermajority in the Senate, which is like 67, and we don't have it. Will we be able to keep that? Will we be able to keep, maintain the momentum in the midterm elections and continue to get more? Or will they continue to steal, the Democrats continue to steal those seats, because you're not going to have 77 million people voting in the midterms. It's not going to happen. Okay? So, and we all know that the Democrats tend to vote more. Democrat people, supporters, vote more in the midterms than Republicans do. Republicans tend to only vote for the main elections every 4 years, the presidential elections, not the midterms. So that's why they always gain ground. It happened in Trump's first term. He lost it. He lost the Senate, the House. Lucky he was able to maintain the Senate. Otherwise, he would have been not only impeached, he would have been kicked out of office. But they just didn't have enough votes to do it. So, if they get the House again, take it back, which is quite possible, because the entire Senate House gets picked every 2 years, which is another thing. I think they need to switch that out. I think it should be a Senate and the House should both be 4 year terms, and there should be term limits for both of them. This is something that needs to be done, because all you're basically doing is that half of the House of Representatives staff and half of the Republicans and the Senate Democrats, the Congress people, half of their time that they are in office, they are doing nothing but campaigning. Nothing but campaigning. So it's like every year, they get 1 year where they do shit, and then 1 year where they can't run for office. Why are we wasting all that fucking money just paying? And we donate a ton of money, too. They get a lot of money from the government, from taxpayers, to run for office. And then the rest of the money comes from the supporters. It's kind of trying to play an even field. So if you don't have a lot of support, you can still run for office. But if they get it, then forget about there ever anything of Trump's being passed permanently. And that's pretty much what happened in his first term. They gaslit him, lied to him, and said it was going to do. And while Pamela Bondi is not pulling the same thing as A.G. Barr did, what exactly has she accomplished in her 100 days in office? What has she accomplished? Except go on Fox. Okay. Now, I know it's important to have transparency and all that, but you need to work too. And exactly what has Pete Hegseth done as well? I don't know. What has he accomplished in his 100 days or thereabouts? Not quite 100 days, probably 70 or 80, because he was running, had to go through all these hearings and all this kind of shit, same with Pamela Bondi. But I don't know. And then the tariffs, and he's not able to get the wars to stop, their forever wars in Israel and Uzbekistan, but Hezbollah and Hamas and all that. And also Russia and Ukraine, they're still going at it. And I don't know. It's not. He's done a lot. I give him that, and I hope he can continue doing it with stuff. But we need some real gains here, and I know there's people that are fighting him, and the economic forum and the stock market and all that, and they're trying to dump stocks and all that, and keep him from really making some good gains. There's just so much destructive behavior in this country, and the swamp is so deep. And yes, people have quit, and things, some of the departments have shrunk some, and we got rid of some of this shit, but there's more than 100,000 people that are in there that are part of the swamp. A lot more people need to go. And of over the 400 departments and agencies we have, and the federal government, how many of them besides USAID have actually been closed? And USAID isn't permanently closed. It takes Congress. It's just closed for now. They have to go through all the paperwork and everything for it's permanently closed. Because I can guarantee you, if Vance doesn't win in 3 years, 3.5 years, that USAID will be back. If it isn't, won't be back before then. So it's insidious. It really is. So we'll see what happens. So this is great right now. And I'm being very diplomatic about it. It's basically a B-. I'm sorry. I would like to give him a better grade. But it's because nothing has been done that's permanent. That's the problem. He's not getting anything passed. Congress hasn't passed a damn bill yet, okay? That's really supported him. They haven't done anything. The Supreme Court hasn't stepped in and said, if they were really concerned about this country, they would go in the Supreme Court justices and tell all their underlings, all the district courts, to knock the shit off and stop it, okay? And put, and pass some judgments on it, make it permanent, that they can't do what they're doing. But they haven't. So, basically, they're pretty much useless, okay? So what Trump has to do is just go in, and now this is going to piss a lot of people off, and it's going to say it's like overreach, which is what the judicial department is doing, is overreach. That he just needs to ignore these justices and say, F you. Okay, so that's what's got to happen. Trump has to straighten this shit out. And I think the only way to do it is do a major restructuring of our judicial system, close down a bunch of these courts and open up new ones and get rid of all these corrupt judges. So would that set a bad precedent? Yeah, probably. So if he actually did it, that's what he's probably afraid of. So if he did it and the next Democratic president would come in and would do it, change it, it would like, oh, you did it, why can't I do it? And then we'd have a constantly swinging back and forth between the courts. So that's something to be said about it. I mean, it sounds all well and good, but when you start analyzing that, and I'm thinking about it, you got to think about the other side and the repercussions that Republicans aren't going to be in power, MAGA's not going to be in power all the time, that eventually the Democrats will find a way to get back into office. And that's when the shit's going to hit the fan. That's when anything that the other side did, the replacements, the Democrats, you know, anything that the Republicans did, the Democrats are going to go against. This is just a given. Because it used to be that it didn't really matter who got elected, whether a Republican president or a Democratic president. They were very similar in their plans. Now, the only difference it made is whether or not the president was any good or was a weak person, kind of like Carter, or very corrupt people like the Clintons or the Bushes, both Bushes, H.W. and H. Bush, or W. Bush. So, I don't know. Well, that's about wraps it up. We're just about at the 30-minute mark, and I've rambled on and on. So, like I said, I give Trump a B-. It's passing. It's a passing grade, yes. And it's above, you know, your typical just getting by with a C. But, and that's mainly because he's waffled a little bit with the tariffs, okay? And he hasn't stuck to his guns as well. And he's been seen as being a little weak when it comes to the financial systems, and they're taking advantage of that. and that nothing is permanently done, and that there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, and a lot of his departments, and like I said, as I'm listening to his meetings, department meetings, and it's just a bunch of ass kissing. That's what it is. They're all just like tooting their horns and saying, this is what we've done. But nothing is permanently done. Nothing that can't be undone by the next president. So, all right, guys, as always, watch your six. And all I can say is we're better off than England and Canada. I can't believe Canada chose who they chose. They got rid of Justin Trudeau, and they got somebody even worse. Are they freaking morons? I guess they are. They really are. They don't know that they'd be so much better off if they were part of the United States. So much better off. So, all right. You guys take care. Goodbye for now.